Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back once again to Eyes Wide Open. I'm super excited today because I've got an amazing guest with me. So I found out about his work through one of my own subscribers who left a message in one of my videos about German new medicine. And he said, check out Darko Velcek. So fortunately, I did, and I just had to get him on the show. So I've been down the rabbit hole watching a ton of his videos, and I can tell you he's got some mind-blowing stuff. He's been teaching about the incredible benefits of seawater, which is something I've been into for a while. So that's what kind of caught my attention. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. This dude is tearing down the walls of what we know about human biology, consciousness, the quantum field, and all the crazy lies that we've been fed since birth. There's so much ground to cover with his work that we can't possibly get through it all in one show. So we're going to break it down into two parts today. In part one, we're going to ask, what is disease? What's the cause of disease? Why are people getting sick? And in part two, of course, we're going to get to the solutions on how you can heal yourself. So without further ado, Darko, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here, brother.
Cool. My pleasure. So let's just get straight into it. Darko, what is disease?
Well, we are all trained to believe that there are two expressions of our body. One is healthy body and one is diseased body. And if body is diseased, there has something to cause this disease. And the sciences accept it. The motion of Louis Pasteur, that there is a bug that is causing our health issues. So this bug can be bacteria, could be fungus, it could be parasite, anything that we can find in a body, and it should not be there. And we are showing symptoms of disease. Well, this is what caused this disease. And this now is really very funny, because many times you have a symptoms of disease when no culprit bug can be found. So if you have all the symptoms of infectious disease and no bacteria or fungus can be found, and not even a parasite, then what is causing it? Aha, virus. Now, what is virus? The virus is so small we cannot see it. So how do you know it's virus? Well, something has to cause the symptoms of infectious disease, right? So this is a something, okay? So something is must be the virus. And then, of course, science always invents what it cannot prove. So in form of virus, it invented that there is such a thing as ribonucleic acid, that since it's single-strained, it cannot reproduce itself. So all of a sudden now it needs a host to hijack his ribonucleic acid and start producing. And this causes now this occurrence of infectious symptoms. But, okay, so what are the symptoms of infectious disease? Well, you feel tired, you get fever, you may get nausea, diarrhea, general lack of energy drops. So these are your main, basically, symptoms of infectious disease. A clear example is flu or common cold, because you get all these symptoms there. And since we know that there is no bacteria or fungus involved, it's virus. That's it. That is nothing. And of course, you should not use antibiotic, because there is the virus you cannot kill with antibiotic. So you just have to give your 7-day time spent for body to get rid of this infection. Well, actually, everybody that had an attack of heavy flu and takes antibiotic, all of a sudden the symptoms get less pronounced and you get out of it faster. So if it doesn't kill a virus, now what is happening here? Well, because actually the antibiotic does not kill even the bacteria. What it does, it is so toxic that it forces the cells of the body to go in what Bruce Lipton calls fight and flight position. Basically, the body shuts down. And when body shuts down, when the cells shut down, they compress their membranes, so now their toxins cannot go out into the blood. And what happens? Within a few days, the body is going to eliminate those toxins from the blood, and the symptoms of disease go away. So we just need to observe and think a little bit about what is going on. But this is not what we are told in a school. In a school, we are told one thing, and this is repeat what you have been told. This is the schooling system. So nobody is thinking. Everybody just takes it because we have scientific studies that prove that this is so. And then you are programmed now like a journalist. You are given scripts to read. And this is why all the news in the world bears the same information, because it comes from a one center. And these people who control knowledge, they control health, they control distribution of the information. Everything is in their hands. Okay, so this is why everything is done in the same way.
So to diseases, as you're explaining it, is one of two ways it can happen, is either through a foreign body coming into the body via bacteria, fungus, virus, or parasite. And secondly, is due to the cells detoxifying for whatever reason, which causes detoxification symptoms. Is that what we're saying that is?
Well, disease, as we are being told, is a bunch of symptoms put together. And these symptoms, if you analyze them, they are basically symptoms of toxic blood and detox of this toxic blood. Symptoms of toxic blood would be pain, muscle pain, joint pain, headaches. Okay, so these are basically symptoms. Also, toxic blood will increase body temperature, so fever. And then after that, the other symptoms that follow are the symptoms of body eliminating those toxins, which is then nausea, because these toxins, number one, blood does not get cleansed only through kidneys. Blood gets cleansed through three organs. Kidneys is the primary. So if you would compare body to an ocean sailing vessel, then you would have, and you always have, on every proper boat, you have a three different setups of bilge pumps. You have the primary bilge pump. So in a body, that would be your kidneys. That any kind of toxin that comes into the blood or any kind of little water that seeps into the ship, this basic primary bilge pump is going to take out. So your kidneys will take it out through urine. Now, if more water comes in a boat or if more toxicity hits the blood, now the primary system may not be satisfactory. So on top of the primary system kicks in the secondary system, which in human body is mucosal tissue, which is inner skin, which covers your digestive and your respiratory tract. Because you can cleanse blood through that system too.
Is that why you get like skin conditions like psoriasis and eczema? Is that where toxins are coming out the body?
There's the third one.
Sorry.
This is when you go through skin. This is when you go through outside skin. Because that's your third. This is your manual overdrive. Okay, when everything else has failed and you are in desperate need to get this water out or body, get these toxins out, skin is being used. especially in the body, is because the primary system uses huge amounts of water. With a lot of water, you eliminate little cramps of toxins, nothing much. Very often you have clear urine and you think, well, nothing is coming out. Well, it is detoxifying you. But mostly 99.999% is water. So when body needs to save water because it's low on blood plasma, then it will slow down the waste of water. So kidneys will be told not to waste water, so they will hold the urine longer. Urine gets darker, gets smellier, gets more toxic. Then it goes in the bladder. It sits there longer because you are eliminating less water now because body is holding on to it, and it becomes more concentrated, which is actually toxic. It is not healthy for your bladder, and it's not healthy for your kidneys. And then since you are getting more and more depleted of plasma, blood plasma, then the mucosal tissue kicks in, because again, body is nothing more than electronic robot. Has a operating programs, has a sensors, and has switches that activate those programs. So as the level goes up, the secondary switch for detox is kicked, and you start detoxifying through mucosal tissue. And if blood is very toxic, which usually is in that moment, the toxic mucus will affect your intestine, your colon. It will inflame it. So it reduces absorption of water. Liquid stays in a colon and makes your stool water. You get diarrhea. And you eliminate the toxins.
What do you mean when you talk about toxic blood? It seems quite a scary prospect, your blood being toxic. But what does that mean in practical terms? How does one's blood become toxic, and why would it become toxic?
Well, this is easily explained on a quantum level. So now we have to bypass the chemistry. Yeah. Now, why I don't like to use chemistry? Because it's man-made. We have created chemistry to explain what is the processes, the biochemical processes in nature. But this is what we can come up with based on the rest of the science, based on the premises that everything is created by atoms, and atoms have particular amount of electrons, protons, and neutrons. And this is going to then give properties of the particular element, which I have proved that this is not working this way, because monoatomic or small particle elements do not have the same characteristics as when they are in a higher accumulation. Like monoatomic gold, completely different characteristics than gold, let's say 1 ounce of gold. And all the characteristics basically shift in a nanoparticle size. So now we are coming from talking about disease, we are now in quantum physics. Okay, so it is very difficult. If you really want to know the truth, you have to combine everything.
Yeah, and this is the problem. Yeah.
Right. This is the problem with science. Doctors stick to their books. Christians stick to their New Testament. Catholics stick basically to the Old Testament and some of the New Testament. Okay, and they draw all the information from there. And nobody is stepping out. Nobody is stepping out away from those books. And let's just take a fresh breath of air and let's see where this whole thing comes from. Mm-hmm. A problem of science.
So toxicity is not just on a chemical level. It's also on a frequency level as well. That's what we're trying to explain here, which is what toxicity is.
It's all about frequency. because everything there is nothing but energy vibrating in particular frequencies. Now, when they are synchronized, then we call them positive. If they go out of sync, then we call them negative. Okay, but it's the same energy, just vibrating differently. And when you are talking about the toxin, let's say in a body, well, most of the toxin don't even come through food or air or water. We create them. We create them the way we experience something that happened in our life.
Like so, a trauma.
Yeah, but it does not have to be trauma, because you can be on a, again, boat. You can be on a boat and you can flip over, and now you end up in a water. Now this, how will you react to it? If you don't know how to swim, you will be terrified. Your life is over. You're going to drown. If you know how to swim and situation around you appears to be funny, then you start laughing. Okay, so the way how we perceive events in our reality, we are creating our thoughts about it and our sentiment about it. And this sentiment can be positive or could be negative, could be in fear. And once when you create fearful emotion, it stays in your auric field. It could be in your brain, it could be in your heart, it could be in your organ, because depending how this frequency was processed, and it will interfere with flow of energy in your body because it's out of sync. It's like an out of tune instrument inside of orchestra. You know, the lighter is the music, the softer is the music, the more it bothers your ear. If it's loud music, it's get lost in the noise. And this is why whenever we go to sleep and we relax, if we have any kind of discomfort, it really starts bugging us and the pain goes up to the roof. Even though during the day you can live with it, no problem. Let's say toothache. During the day, no problem. You can do your stuff. Okay, it's uncomfortable. But if you try to sleep with a toothache, man, it gets worse and worse the calmer you get.
So central to your work, I think, is that we are becoming sick because our blood is filled with toxins or toxified, and that's creating toxification in the whole organism. The cells can't dump the toxins, etc., etc. And you talk about the detoxification of the body, the detoxification of the blood is the primary thing that we need to do before we can heal the body on a cellular level. Is that if we move back from the quantum into the chemical, is that on a a level that we can understand, are the foods and the environmental factors that are coming into the body, are they causing the toxicity in the blood? Is the foods that we're eating and, you know, the medications that we're taking and all of the other environmental factors that are, you know, we seem to be swamped under, don't we? All we hear is each day is that, you know, there's more environmental problems, there's pollution in the air, there's pollution in the sea, the animals are being injected, we're being injected, it just seems to be coming at us from all angles. Is that kind of a central idea of your work?
Yes and no. I'm not really focusing on man-made poisoning for particular reason, because it's really not that important. But we gave it all that importance. This is the worst that can be done, for example. No? Put fluoride in the water. Wow, nothing is worse than this. Of course, there are many things. We create much worse things through our emotions than fluoride will do. Which the way fluoride will affect you, your emotion will affect you even worse. You can actually kill yourself simply because you create this fear. And this was shown in, well, everybody who believes in voodoo they know that if their voodoo priests tell them that, I don't know, tomorrow at noon you will die, they know that they will die. And they do die exactly at that time. Now, what kills them? There was no toxin anywhere. Everything, our life, our aging process, everything is controlled basically through our belief system. So it has to be injected there. It was shown that there is no such a thing as a limited life to a cell, one cell in a body. From chicken heart cell was isolated and put in petri dish.
Immortalized cell lines.
Yeah.
They call it immortalized cell lines.
Right. And what happened? 25 years, the cell was living without even proliferating, okay? Which means even the proliferation, what we know about it, it's all fake. It's not true. And what happened is cell died because the environment was not changed. It was now left in a toxic environment and died. Now, how come that chicken cannot live longer than 13 years? There's no way. The longest living chicken could be 13 years. And how come that the cell of chicken heart can live 25 years? And probably who knows how much longer if we keep cleaning that water. Nobody wants to redo the experiment because who's going to waste 50 years of life to prove how long will the cell live? Mm-hmm. Okay, so... Because their single cell needs to be controlled. If it is not controlled, it just perpetually remains. It's a created energetic field that perpetually remains in its environment that is programmed to particular environment. So if you keep the environment the same, mean clean, then the cell will continue showing itself there. And the whole body should be done like this then. If one cell can do it, why not the whole body? Well, because we have a program. Program is in the brain. And in a program, it is already pre-programmed for certain life to take certain age. And we know exactly because everything is made by, in a form of sacred geometry. Forget about atoms. They don't exist. It's all about sacred geometry. And geometrical shape to be fully developed to represent something in your reality is usually in a nano size. And this is why elements, once when they reach nano size, nanometer, then they have all the properties of the so-called atom and or element. Now, why is this important to understand is basically if you can convince yourself that you can live forever, there is no reason why you could not live forever. If you can convince yourself to look young, you will look young. Now, convincing is a problem because our ego, our consciousness, what we consider consciousness, I am, I can see myself, so for that I am, that depends on our perception and running programs. And if you are being told in a school that, yeah, well, you will normally accelerate with your lifestyle until 28 or 30, and then you know your stagnation years to 40, 45, and then you go downhill slope, and that's how you age. This is your, well, you accept it, and this is how you will manifest your life. And then if you see someone in very toxic and in pain and cramped down, and then he tells you, well, I'm 55, and then say, oh, when you're 55, that's how you're going to look. Well, you are gearing yourself to look exactly like this and feel like this when you are 55. There's nothing to do, really, even with what you eat. If it's everything, all our reality is nothing more than manifestation. Mm. And your manifestation, the whole universe, the biggest, the furthest distance in universe is just between one ear and the other ear, because everything is created right here.
We are the center of our own universe, aren't we, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Every one of us. Yeah. And now we have to apply this knowledge to everything around us. And we come up with completely different view on reality. What is reality?
Yeah, I had a guess that we're going to be talking about immortality before the first half is over, and you didn't disappoint. Yeah, who doesn't want to live forever, I guess. No, but so we're going to take a quick breather here. So go and get a cup of coffee or a beer. No, hang on, get a water. when we come back, we'll be exploring the idea of the heart as an electrical generator and unraveling the not so sweet truth about glucose in starches and how they're messing with our health. Stay tuned, because we're going to go further down the rabbit hole. Welcome back, guys. Hope you enjoyed the water. Darko, you've got this really interesting concept about the human body being an electrical robot. I like to think that we're a bit more than a robot. Maybe it's a soul sitting in an electric robot. But how electricity is the power that moves us, that animates us. So I've got a little anecdote here. Is that during the lockdown, I read a book called Fasting and Man's Correct Diet by R.B. Pearson, and it was written 100 years ago, and it's pretty wild, because not only does he talk about water fasting curing his ailments, and he had quite serious ailments in his gut, and he did multiple water fasts, which he fixed himself in the end, but what was really weird is that in that book, he's talking about the mandatory vaccine crisis that was happening 100 years ago in America, right? The same thing that was happening during COVID crisis was happening 100 years ago. They were trying to force vaccines on the population, even though they were crude, rudimentary vaccines from the back in the day. But anyway, I just thought that was a really weird coincidence that somehow I'd picked this book on fasting, but it was about the vaccine crisis back then too, and the emergence of Big Pharma replacing fasting as one of the cures for water fasting is one of the cures for man, and they demonized it and said it was killing people, so that you can take this pill, you know, from now on you don't have to go through the hard work of doing the fasting, you can take this pill, right? Which saw the emergence of Big Pharma, and it just blew my mind. But what really stuck with me, which is what's connected to what we're talking about, is that he was doing these long fasts, 40 days and above, and he makes one statement that stuck with me, and he said that food doesn't create energy, it just creates heat to warm the body. which is why we need less food in hotter climates. Then he goes on to say that it's electricity which creates energy in the body, and that happens while we sleep. Now, he didn't explain how electricity was created when we sleep, and it was always a little bit frustrating to me because I couldn't figure it out. I was going, okay, well, how does that happen? What's the mechanism that's going on there? So when I read your explanation of it, the penny dropped. It was like, bing, it was a light on moment, forgive the pun. And what you say is that it's the heart that creates electricity, which is then sent to the brain, and the brain then distributes the electricity to the body. It was just a brilliant explanation because it systemized the whole thing for me, at least. So could you explain to us that entire process of how the body is an electrical robot and the systems, you know, it uses in order to manifest that and distribute it?
Well, partially the cells do produce electricity as well, partially, but it's a very small amount of electricity being produced that way. Great majority is produced by heart, because when heart pumps, heart is not pump that squeezes and increases pressure and pumps. It pumps with a rotary motion, it twists. And as it twists, it actually spins. Everything that is in blood, it spins. And since blood is a very conductive medium, electroconductive, there is no resistance. So once when you create the spin continues, it doesn't stop. The spinning creates electromagnetic fields. I mean, you have your generators, reactors, they all work on the spin. So this is how our mind can understand it. Okay, again, we have to watch what mind can understand, what our ego can accept as something it can work with. Because truth or not truth, if we go into quantum field, we realize that we are nothing but self-perpetual electronic device. Okay, so we are energetic field ourselves, so we don't need any energy. But again, when we connect this to our life, we have to find some resemblance, something. Why do we eat? You know, so there must be some reason why we eat. Heat, yeah, well, we produce heat as much as is necessary. And we don't need to have a coat. I mean, just look at Wim Hof. He's swimming down in the North Pole in the water with the seals and like he's on a Caribbean Riviera. Hmm. We all can do this. But we are being trained differently. So we have to retrain our body. So when we go to electricity, we have to understand that what we call energy is electricity. And majority is produced, great majority, by heart. And then it goes directly into the brain. So from the heart, it doesn't spill anywhere. It just goes into the brain. And then in a brain is fractured. Like, for example, light, if you take a prism and you shoot the beam of light in a prism, all of a sudden, depending on light waves, because white light is combination of all the colors, and every color has different light wave. As it hits the pyramidal structure of prism, it will fracture. And depending on frequencies, it will deviate more and more. So you will have now spectrum of colors, and this is what rainbow is, going through a crystalline form of raindrop. So it fractures the light into different by frequencies, and each frequency then is being shown to us with a different color. Now, when you take the electricity, when it's shot from the heart into the brain, it also fractures, but in huge amount of frequencies, and brain is compartmentalized, that every part of the brain vibrates in different frequency. So the energy from the heart, is fractured, and then from the brain is then directed to the corresponding organ that resonates with the same frequency of this part of the brain.
Sorry to interrupt. This reminds me of Gert Harmer's work in terms of, you know, when he proved using MRI scans that part of the brain corresponded to specific organs, and that if there was a trauma, it would show up in part of the brain. And he was able to tell what part of the body was trauma just by looking at the MRI scan of the brain. He go, oh, that's the liver, that's the, you know, the spleen, or that's the lungs. Yeah.
Right. And people can do it by looking at iris in the eye. They can look in the eye and say, okay, you have a problem. Why? Different color. Now it's being used color as a representation of the frequency. Okay, so you have different color of iris and say, okay, in this organ you have a problem, or this organ you have a problem. Same thing. There are doctors here in jungle, but also Chinese doctors, that can take your pulse, and by the heartbeat, how changes of a rhythm, they can just project a thought. Again, something that people don't realize, what is thought? Thought is electromagnetic discharge of the brain, okay, on particular frequency. So every thought has particular frequency. And he can just hold your arm, pressing on the artery to feel your pulse, and he can ask mentally, okay, how is the heart? Is heart okay? And by the change in the beat of the heart, he gets his answer, yes and no. He can ask, how is the liver? He can ask on every organ, and heart will correspond. It's the same what some people use pendulum for. Some people use sticks for dowsing. Mm-hmm. Some people use kinesiology muscles, exactly the same response. We have to learn how to communicate with our body. Normally, animals do this all the time. They are way more connected than we are. We are being disconnected on purpose because we can create. We have the freedom. We got the ticket to create. And if you would experience in your reality something that is not exactly something that you would like, well, you can, like this, just change it. And then you cannot have full experience. Who wants to experience dying in pain? Nobody. Mm. So if you can change it on a flick of your thought, yeah, then you would never experience it.
It's like the system, isn't it? The system moves us further and further away from nature as fast as it can, because the further we go, the more we lose our intuition in being able to understand, you know, our body, our subconscious, our soul, you know, all the messages and the signals that it gives us, is that we've lost the ability to read them because, you know, we're so disconnected from the innate, from the universal, and that one of the goals, isn't it, is to reconnect with the source in that sense. But so before we go off on a too big a tangent, so we've, in the story, we've got to the electricity in the brain and we've identified the organs. What happens next?
Well, and then the brain is going to send now the energy, electricity in this particular frequency to the corresponding organ. So the brain is one. If you have a problem with one part of the brain, well, you will have problem with that organ that the brain is going to provide with the energy. Now, again, understanding what thoughts are, that thoughts are also vibrations. And very often, you may think about a particular organ. When you think about it, you are actually radiating the frequency of this organ also. So, oh, I'm afraid not to get breast cancer. Oh, I'm afraid not to get breast cancer. Well, you are automatically sending frequency of breast and cancer. Not is nothing. Mm-hmm. Could be yes, could be no, doesn't matter. But you are sending these two frequencies. And then what happens? The biggest draw on energy is fear. because fear shuts you down. Fear shuts the brain down. So you are sending the frequency, brain, cancer and breast, and then fear add to it, you are broadcasting the frequency of the breast, and now breast is not receiving energy, because whatever you broadcast, you are transmitting. Transmission needs huge amount of energy. There is no energy left to be rerouted to the breast. But there are other frequencies, again, Hammer's work proves it, that, for example, if a mother has a child and the child is somewhere where mother has to worry about it, has to, doesn't have to, but decides to worry about it, then the child is constantly on mind when she sleeps, when she wakes up, when she eats, constantly she is in a fear about her child and worried about the child. Well, frequency of thinking of child as the same frequency of the left breast. And now if the cells in the left breast are underpowered because they themselves don't produce enough electricity or they cannot hold the electricity, they drop the voltage. And what happens when cells drop the voltage below half of the capacity, which means below 0.75 volts? The cell is programmed to go into proliferation, because this usually happens when cell is overly acidic and cannot hold the charge.
And so when the cell is toxic, right, and it's closed up, isn't it? Because I know you talk about saying when the blood's toxic or when there's toxins in the body, the cells, you know, close up so they don't release any water that's in the cell or take in any of the toxic water that's in the body, and therefore that encapsulates that toxin within the cell. So what you're saying is that when the cell is overloaded with toxins, it's too acidic to carry a charge, and therefore the energy within that cell diminishes, and that's when you get things like cancer.
Right, because as long as what I call organ stays plugged in a source, which means as long as you have the communication between brain, organ, and the heart, then the circuit is open, and your energy, even that your cell cannot produce and hold the charge, it still is receiving the charge. So it will work. You have many people that are even smokers. They are all dehydrated. You can see on their skin. The skin is all creeped together, old, you know, and they have no cancer. And you have people that don't look nearly like this. So they are not nearly as dehydrated and as toxic, and they develop cancer. Why? Because of the energy problem. Because the energy is not, they are unplugged. They unplug themselves from a heart because they start transmitting the particular frequency of that organ. And this is why when we say, this proves the whole theory about diseases wrong. When we say, okay, now you have a breast cancer. Now the cancer, if we don't take it out, it is going to spread to your lungs. It is going to spread around your body. It is impossibility for this cancer to spread anywhere else because the frequencies are different. Their cells will not react to this unless now you start worrying about different things. So from breast cancer, worrying about the child, now you this doctor tells you, well, you have breast cancer, you will die unless we do this and this. Now the fear sets in, oh, I'm going to die. Wow. And then dying, the fear of dying starts affecting your lungs, your respiration.
That's what Harmer says. He says, don't get a diagnosis. The worst thing you can do is get a diagnosis, because that's the one that triggers all these other, you know, these other things.
Yeah. Definitely. And before, it was a rule, basically, that doctors do not disclose to patients what the problem is. Okay, and they will tell family, and they'll tell, please don't tell him, just, you know, let's try this, let's try this. But now it's opposite, because the mind is such an effective killer that you have a pimple, and doctor goes, well, we have to take a sample because it could be cancerogenous. And then you hear a cancer, wow, the hell breaks loose. Mm. Okay, so everything now, you may have a mild inflammation somewhere. And they go, well, we got to take biopsy because it could be cancerogenous. They try to scare you right on get-go. Yeah,
of course.
You know, doctors are nothing more than 007s with license to kill. Okay, well, this is...
Let's tell that story quickly, because I thought it was, I watched one of your videos in which you talk about your time in medical school and how disappointed you were after it, because you realized you weren't a healer, or they weren't teaching you how to be a healer. You know, they were just teaching you what's in the book, and then you get a diploma which says that this guy follows this book, and you know, you're basically a repeater. You just repeat what you've been taught. Now, you know, you describe the diploma, the certificates you get in medical school, as a license to kill, which was quite a powerful statement. So tell us a little bit about that, what you mean.
Well, students don't even realize it until the studies are over. I'm a veterinarian. My brother was a physician. But the same thing. After we have passed all the exams, and now you go to receive your diploma, before your diploma is handed to you in your hand, you have to raise your right arm and repeat after the professor, whoever gives you the diploma, that you are going to only use the knowledge given to you by this institution and only work according to this science that it promotes. Okay? You are not going to do on your by yourself anything on a side. Now, they call it the Hippocratic Oath. I call it the hypocritic oath.
Yes. More accurate, yeah.
Hypocrisy. Yeah. And to me, it was a shock. Mm. Now, what does this mean? And then I realized very quickly, after I tried to work with animals and try to make them better, then I realized that I'm not really equipped to make them better. And my life is going to end up doing vaccinations, spaying, you know, castrations and euthanasia. This is going to be my life. And my brother came to rescue because he saw that I'm very unhappy. And he said, look, I'm going to do a study now on impotency in men. And, you know, if you want, I'll include you in a study. And I said, oh, of course. So then I got to go into human medicine. Mm. And in 3 months, we discovered where the problem with erection is and how you can distinguish and separate the mental part from the physical part. But once when we got to the nitty-gritty, how now to reinstall the erection if, let's say, physical part was problem, blood circulation, well, neither him or I do know how to re-establish proper blood circulation, how to revitalize blood vessels. And today, it's 40 years later, nobody knows it.
Yeah. But would you not say that it's dehydration? Because that's what you're talking about, well, is rehydrating, yeah, putting plasma into the blood. Where there is no plasma, you know, is that one of the discoveries, would you say?
Well, the problem behind all the problems is toxic blood. Mm-hmm. Bible states it correctly, that the life is the blood. And this is why blood cannot remain toxic. And blood has many, many systems, programs running to make sure that toxins are eliminated as quick as possible from blood. And if there is not enough blood plasma for cleansing organs to eliminate these toxins out, this toxin will be shoved in subcutaneous and connective tissue or crystallized in the kidneys or joints just to be out of blood circulation. And we don't even realize how toxic we get during the years of living.
Sorry to interrupt. So, So the body, to try and mitigate some of the toxins that are in the blood, will take the toxins out and place them in different parts of the body, either as fat around the belly or lumps and tumors and in the joints. That's where they store them?
That's as long as they're out of circulation, even in the cells.
So they isolate the toxins until such time as they can deal with them and get rid of them?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is when you have a high accumulation after years and years of storing these toxins, because you are not eliminating, because you are dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And you are dehydrated not only because you are not drinking enough water, but because you don't have enough salt. Mm-hmm. Because the liquid has to be electroconductive. So we don't have water in the body. We have plasma. And now a lot of scientists, again, are getting confused by saying, well, body produces its own water, and this is a crystal clear, beautiful, this is most pristine water. There is no such a thing that any of such a water would be of our benefit, because it's electric isolator. Unless it is loaded with minerals, ions,
it's not conductive.
It is not conductive, and it will harm you. So drinking, you know, I have people saying, well, you are not correct, because when I drink distilled water, I urinate much more than when I'm drinking water with salt.
Because you get rid of it. Yeah.
The body gets had to quickly eliminate it because it's disturbing electroconductivity.
So we're getting somewhere here. So the blood is toxified due to emotional frequencies and also toxins that we eat and stuff, and therefore the blood is loaded with toxins. It's unable to get rid of those toxins because we are dehydrated, and therefore, in order to maintain some level of homeostasis, the body removes those toxins and stores them in the body. And then over time, if you don't rehydrate or if you don't find a way to flush them out, they will accumulate and end up as serious disease later on in life, which, you know, we could succumb to if we don't fix it. Is that kind of an overview in a nutshell?
Right. And very simple proof of this is water retention. Because we are being told, oh, you cannot have too much salt. Because if you have too much salt, you hold too much water, which increases your blood pressure and creates water retention. Mm. Okay, but everybody that has water retention is suffering from some chronic problem, health problem, which means they are chronically toxic. And since the toxins are going to be pushed, if they cannot be eliminated, they are pushed in subcutaneous tissue. Subcutaneous tissue is going to be extremely toxic. When lympha comes in there, it becomes highly toxic. It's not allowed to return back into the blood. So you start accumulating and you get puffy. You get this puffiness on your face. You know, this is why I like to talk to people when I have consultation. Then I want to do it through Skype or Zoom so I can see them. Because immediately by looking at the skin, I get loads of information. Okay? And you can see this chronic inflammation or water retention brewing there. And of course, now this is why it is very important when people are sick, they feel unwell, and they want to do the Self Healers Protocol, which is based on proper hydration and proper diet, well, they start blowing up. Their blood pressure start rising. And they, well, you see that salt increases blood pressure. Well, in your situation does, because you have toxic body that is dehydrated. Nothing works correctly. Okay? And again, blood pressure is not going to kill you. No, nobody died from high blood pressure.
Let's talk a little bit about dehydration and why we're dehydrated. I mean, why do we need so much water? We don't live near too much water. You know, it's quite difficult to get if it wasn't for modern engineering. Is what's going on with the whole dehydration thing? How is that happening? And what's the background to that? Because I know I've read Dr. Batman Jani. Is that his name?
Batman Jani.
Yeah, and he says that it's the body's many cries for water. Brilliant book. Really interesting guy. And, you know, his story was he was in jail in Iran, didn't have any medicine, found that all he had was water and a bit of salt, and he was treating patients and they were being cured of all kinds of things. But it seems like, you know, it's a lot of water, a lot of plasma that we need to have in order to rehydrate. How does that fall in with the natural equilibrium?
Well, you see, our handlers, the cabal, they know very, very well the importance of salt and hydration. This is why, through their science, their version of science, salt is being crucified. Mm-hmm. Remember, they always convert things. What's good, they make it to be bad. What is bad, they make it to be good. So this is why in the science we are being told no salt, because salt is going to create this and this and this and this, which none of it is true, and nobody takes time to verify it. Okay, so this is a problem. And your body will lose water constantly and loses minerals constantly. Whenever you sweat, whenever you cry, you will notice that you are losing plasma, not water. It's salty.
Yeah. Salty, yeah.
So when you urinate, it's salty, but now it's very bitter because the toxins are bitter. So bitterness comes from a lot of toxins, and not much salt in the urine means that your body is low on plasma, low on minerals, and it cannot eliminate them. So this is the problem. We are making blood analysis. We are checking for everything under the sky except for level of plasma.
Yeah.
Okay? And when the blood is really dehydrated, when in a same cubic centimeter of water, of liquid, of blood, you will have less plasma, what will you have more? You will have more of cells. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So is this why older people who their blood's thickening and they're given anticoagulants to loosen the blood, like aspirin stuff, is that simply because, you know, the older and older they get, the even more dehydrated they become and the more plasma they lose?
Well, again, this is how we doctors create new diseases.
Yeah.
Because we don't look at the thick blood as dehydrated blood. Because we tell people, drink water, drink tea, drink liquids. But we never tell them drink plasma because we are deadly afraid of salt. Because we have been told, never ever touch the thing. Okay, you have a kidney patient. His kidneys are failing because the blood is so thick and so polluted that it destroys the kidney. And now you tell them, well, you are in dialysis. You should not have salt at all. And then you tell them, well, you almost don't urinate. How can you urinate when you don't have any liquid in your blood anymore? But then you tell them, you cannot even drink more than one cup of water a day. I mean, you are putting this unfortunate individual in a grave.
Mm.
License
a
to
slow
kill.
Grave as well, isn't it, sometimes, of those people?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but brings a lot of money to the medical industry.
Mm.
Okay, so who cares about a patient? It's the industry that profits. That's the point. We have even created a disease, polycythemia. Polycythemia, you have too many cells in your blood. But you don't have too many cells. You have exactly the amount of cells that you need to
just
have.
Just not
like
enough
you
water or plasma.
Plasma.
Yeah. It seems like total common sense, doesn't it? You know, when you explain it like that.
But not to a doctor. Not to a doctor. Because we run on a program that...
Do you think it's also the run on the program, but also it's kind of like the certificate comes into play? It's like if they deviate from their training, they're outside of their insurance and therefore they can be sued. So there's a whole like profit motive and a career motive rather than being a healer, rather than it being a vocation that they're doing it because they want to heal. They're doing it because it's a business. It's because it's, you know, it's earning them a lot of money.
Right. Definitely, definitely. And the system is geared in such a way that God forbid that you heal somebody.
Yeah.
Because
you lose a customer.
Yeah. So there, it's you are not here to heal. Mm. You are here to medicate. Okay? But people don't get it.
And then the medication further dehydrates the body and further toxifies the blood. So it may give you some immediate remedy from the situation, but it's also compounding the toxicity of the body in the long run.
Yeah, medications are suppressors. Mm. For example, majority people suffers from pain because pain is a signaling of the body you have to change. Now, there are a lot of theories, again, going biochemically, that you are producing lactic acid, pyrets cannot then create uric acid. It has to create lactic acid, creates pain. Well, I am keeping away from biochemistry because it's all misleading. You want to know the truth, you have to go into quantum field. You have to go into quantum physics. Body is electronic robot, and it works on principles of physics, but not the physics we have invented. Because wherever we are missing something, we create it of thin air the way we think it should be to achieve our goal. Mm. And if you want to really understand how the thing works, you first have to understand the double slit experiment, which very few people understand. And once when you understand that, then you realize, man. So,
do you want to explain it to us?
This could be a little lengthy explanation. Basically, you have a board on which you make two oval slits. Mm-hmm. And then you have a back wall. And if you take the balls and you keep throwing on the first wall, then if you hit the wall, it bounces back. But if you hit the slit, the ball goes through the slit. And on the back wall, it will make imprint where it hits the wall. So if you take a basket of balls and you throw it at this wall, only the balls that go through the slits will hit the wall in the back and will make image of two slits on the backdrop. Now, if you take a water in the same way and you push a wave of water. Now, why I'm using water? Because water is actually dimensional representation of energetic field. Okay, so if you take the water and you splash it onto the first wall, then what hits the middle of the wall will bounce back. But what hits the edges of the inserts, the cutouts, it will push through and it will make a curvature. It will deviate through them. Okay, on the outside also, it will hit and it will curve behind and create waves. And what goes directly through the slit, it is going to go uninterrupted. So behind the wall with the slits, you are going to have now multiple waves in different directions going. And as they hit the back wall, they will give you an imprint of something looking like a money bar that you have these barcodes on products to know how much they cost and whatever. Yeah. So it gives you that barcode effect. So now that they tried to take a proton gun that will send a single particle of light and bombard this first wall with these particles of light, and they want to see the effect that it will create on a backdrop. And when they check the backdrop, instead of having the two slits, they had a bar effect. Which means that even though they were sending one by one impulse of light, they were still getting the wave effect like it was flooded with light, like wave of light. So they could not understand it. To understand it, they put observation mechanism to observe what happens on these slits. As the light hits them, what happens? As soon as they put observation mechanism and they start observing, they got on a backdrop the image of two slits. So if they are not observing, it's a wave effect. If they are observing, it's
a particle,
the effect that they were expecting to see.
So
actually, your consciousness is organizing what you are going to see.
So it changes form just by observing it.
Right. And then, number of years later, they repeated the experiment, but they placed the observing mechanism not on a slit, but on a wall behind, on a receiving wall. So the particles had to pass already slits, and they wanted to see if it's going to make any change. And it reacted the same way as if they would have a monitoring device on a slit. When they were monitoring, they had the image that they expected to see. If they were not monitoring, they had a wave effect. This means that everything is designed around our consciousness, which means every experiment that you do is going you to is showing you result that you anticipated, because your mind can figure it out this way. It makes sense to your mind.
It's also as we collectively expect as well. So it's not just on an individual level, it's also on a collective level. If we all collectively expect a result, that's the result we'll get. Like, we all collectively expect not to be able to push through the desk because it's hard, but the reality is that, you know, the space between the atoms, or whatever it is, would say that the desk is not solid. It's only that we imagine the desk to be solid because we're observing it rather than it being in the waveform, yeah?
Well, yeah, because we have two consciousnesses working. Mm-hmm. We have the subconscious, which is basically the creative energy of a creator, a God, whatever you want to call it. And then you have the conscious energy of the product, of your robot, of your body that you call I am. And if this robot, I am, can figure things out, then it will manifest them in this way. It will expect it to happen this way. But because the subconscious part, the original God that is within us, the God creative energy, well, that's only one. We are all part of it. So actually, we are all one. We are all brothers and sisters. Just with different robots trying to go through this experience of something that we have created in a quantum field to experience as a reality through senses that we have been given as a robot. So, what many things we cannot experience in conscious energetic wave. So we have to create this physicality so we can equip it with sensors, and we are getting, as we are experiencing this life, better and better. We now create more and more senses. So every creation is more sophisticated than the one before. So it can experience more things and send it matrix back to the, through the inner God yourself, into the matrix of conscious energy, to then use to create a new, more sophisticated game. And continue improving and improving and improving.
Cool, okay. Well, that's quite a concept. That's quite a thought. That's quite a an idea to contemplate on, which I think brings us perfectly to the end of part one. Thanks all those who watched for tuning in. If you want to catch part two, where Darko is going to share his self-healer's protocol to how to reclaim your health and take control of your well-being, how to be sovereign in terms of being in control of your own health and all the things that we've just talked about, how, you know, toxicity is creating these diseases in our body and creating the symptoms. Well, the solution of how to cleanse the body and rehydrate the body on a cellular level, Darko's going to explain in part two with his self-healers protocol. So be sure to go over to my website, laurenceeasman.com, and sign up as a subscriber. You get 7 days free trial to have a look at the premium content, the top-notch premium content that we've got for you. So, Darko, before we wrap up this part, could you share, you know, where people can find you online if they want to continue this research and watch, you know, watch your stuff and read your work? Where can they find you?
Well, I have a blog that I keep active. I write 2 articles every week, Tuesday and Friday. Usually I publish them. And then I do videos. I can no longer publish videos on YouTube because they keep taking them out.
Yeah, me too. I'm on Rumble as well. We're the Rumble refugees are here.
Right, Rumble and BitChute. I post on both. And my it's a free blog from WordPress. I have also paid one, but the free one works much better. So I'm even afraid to subscribe to it so they don't change something. It works so well. it's my name, Darko Velček, .wordpress.com. This is where all my articles are, and there is a search engine. You can just put the word that you want to know about in there, and articles will pop out. There are probably 700 articles, if not more, in there and to choose from.
You've also got a fantastic book. Tell us about that.
Well, I, like 15 years ago, I wrote a book called Owner's Manual for the Human Body, which basically all that is there states is still active because it's still not changed, with exception of viruses, because I did not at that time zero much on viruses. I just neglected them using the book explanation for what virus is. And now we know that virus is nothing, that it's non-existent. It's being only used as like this.
Another reason to sell drugs, isn't it? That's it. Another reason to pump us full of shit. Yeah. Well,
basically, to cling on something that you can promote something else. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's not to our benefit whatsoever. So,
And where can people buy that? Like, buy your book?
Through my page. They go on
your website,
and there is a on my website. There is this Darko's books in English. Mm-hmm. Some of them are translated in Italian, in German, in Croatian, in Romanian, I don't know what else.
Fantastic.
So there are some people, and that people themselves translate, they were so impressed with their healing results that they contribute their time so they can help their people in their countries to use this and to distribute. And because it's all about empowering people to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. We do not need anybody to heal us. Mm-hmm. We can do it ourselves. And this is all about it.
Well, that's what we're going to find out about in part two. But finally, as you also run a consultancy service in which you'll help people who need help. And I can personally vouch for that. I can personally testify to Darko's absolutely brilliant guidance, because I haven't had time to talk about it yet in part one. Hopefully I'll talk about it in part two. Is that I'm currently on day 18 of a plasma fast, in which all I've had for the last 18 days is bucket loads of plasma, no food, no water, yeah, because plasma is not water, no tea, no coffee, no supplements, just plasma. Feel fantastic, although it's been a little bit of a roller coaster as I've experienced detox symptoms, and I've been able to draw upon Darko's immense knowledge and experience to get me through any tough time. So I highly recommend that if anybody out there is ready to take control of their health, wants to cleanse, and you need some guidance. Darko, how can people get in touch with you for your consultancy service?
Yeah, also on my blog, there is a e-clinic, so you can book your Skype consultation. If you have a Zoom, as you do, it can be done on Zoom or any other program which is available to me, and I need to see the individual. And then we make consultation, doesn't matter. I have them anywhere in the world, as long as we have an internet running. And I recommend the guidance, especially to people that have chronic problems, because they are very toxic and they will have strong detox symptoms, which could scare them. Fear is the worst thing you can do to healing body. You stop healing immediately. And this is why fear is being used so much in our lives, to keep us disarmed and without energy.
We'll talk about that in detail in part two. Like I say, I've used the service myself. Highly recommend it. Go and check it out. Thanks once again for tuning in, and I hope to see you in part two soon. Thanks a lot. Bye for now.